Welcome back to the Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My second time doing this intro because I messed up the first time and my batteries died. Good start to the new place. Hopefully it sounds fine. I'm trying to remember what I said for the last intro, but it's okay. I completely forgot. I am back, ready to go. A lot of people listened to yesterday's episode. Brandon's advice was great. I'm going to make Brandon sound significantly smarter, as I usually do, with all my hot takes. But today we're doing this unsustainable episode, like we do every Wednesday. We went back about 15 games, or no, so, sorry, not 15 games, 15 days to about last Wednesday, to make these calls and to just kind of evaluate players, because we didn't want to do it based on only like two games because of the All-Star break and all that kind of weird stuff.
Right.
So I think that's a better way of looking at it. So some of them, mind you, may have a lot of, I think, different line changes in between there. So that's why you see a lot of different performance over six games, and we can't evaluate all of that, but we did our best. So let's get started, and we'll go right into our unsustainably high for this last 2 weeks. I'll start with Jake Gardner, who has six games played, nine assists, a plus one, two power play points, 10 shots on goal, five hits, and 11 blocks. Mind you, this crazy streak started after I dropped him. Of course that happens.
And I picked him up.
And then, of course, you pick him up. To make things even worse, those two things happen. So there you go. I think he's a good point getter. He's a good defenseman. The thing that is unsustainable about this is that as soon as Morgan Rielly gets back, he's going to get bumped out of all those positions that are giving him the opportunities to score right now. And that's mostly why I have him on this list. Moving on, Sam Reinhart has six games played, three goals, four assists, a plus one, two PIMs, four power play points, 14 shots on goal, three hits, and three blocks. He's only getting around 16 minutes of ice time a game. I'm not that high on him. He's very, very reliant on the power play at the moment. So that always scares me when a player is just too reliant on the power play. So I'd be cautious with Sam Reinhart, and I definitely don't expect more than a point per game out of him. Eric Johnson, who I expect the peripherals to stay. I just want to preface this with preface? How do you say
preface?
Preface. I said it wrong three times. Great. Well, I just want to start by saying I think that what's unsustainable about him is his points, not his peripherals. So six games played, one goal, four assists, plus one, two PIMs, 16 shots on goal, 16 hits, and 15 blocks. I think those are incredible stats for a Bangers League, but I just don't think those points are going to stay once Tyson Barrie comes back. So that's why.
He came back.
Oh, he came back.
He played last game.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I just don't think that Eric Johnson keeps those stats going while Tyson Barrie's back. But those peripherals are still great, and I think actually probably the hits and the blocks at least will stay up. The shots will probably come down as well.
Yep. All right, for me, Adam Henrique. Six games played. He has six goals, two assists, plus three, two PIMs, 14 shots, two game winners, two power play points, one shorthanded point, three hits, and two blocks. So he really filled the stat sheet out over the last couple of weeks. He's still on the third line, though. He's still playing top power play, though, which is nice. But I think, you know, anytime you see a shorthanded point, like, you can pretty much ignore that for the rest of the season for the most part. A lot of people don't get multiple shorties, but I mean, Henrique is a good all-around player anyway, but I just don't think he's going to be anywhere near a point per game pace for the rest of the season. I'd probably put him in the low to mid 40 point pace, so he'll come down. He also has six goals on 14 shots, so that's like, what, 40-something percent shooting percentage. Next up, very similar stats here, actually. Alexander Steen, six games played, five goals, three assists, plus three, 15 shots, two power play points, one shorthanded point, two hits, and three blocks. Steen actually looks better now than he did for much of the season because Schwartz came back, and he's playing on the line with Schwartz and Shen, and he's got top power play. But I don't think Steen is going to be able to put up these types of numbers. I think he's going to be better than he's been for most of the season, so he's still rosterable, but he's not like an elite player or something.
Yep.
He's just decent now, basically. And then last year, Ryan Pulock, the Islanders, six games played. He had one goal, five assists, five of those points coming in one game, a plus three, 13 shots, two power play points, 10 hits, and six blocks. Problem here is he doesn't play enough minutes, around 16 to 17. He's typically on the second power play. Don't really know what's going to happen when Boychuk comes back. He may wind up being the odd man out and getting scratched. That said, it could be interesting if they move him to the top power play, which might happen considering Letty's been pretty ineffective on it.
Yep.
And they could use Ryan's shot, but we'll see. Until then, I wouldn't be making any moves towards him.
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Moving on to the unsustainably low guys, I'll start with a defenseman here too. Jordan Osterley. Now,
Osterley. Osterley.
Right, you're right.
Lee.
I thought it was Lee.
Osterley. Osterley.
I got 50% of it, right? Somewhat.
No, they got 50% of it,
right? Yeah, exactly. Together we make 100%, you see? This is why we're co-hosts.
And also zero.
Yeah, that also zero. this one's a little bit out there because he's very lowly owned. Actually, I don't think I've ever done an unsustainably low with a guy that is this lowly owned. But there's a reason for that. And he has 5 games played, is a plus 5, so he's on the ice for goals, which is nice. 2 PIMs and has 14 shots on goal. He's also getting 24 minutes and 23 seconds of average time on ice. Now, mind you, Duncan Keith is with him, and so he can steal some points, that kind of thing. I get it, but I just think that being on the ice for as much as he is and being in the situations that he is, I just think we're going to start seeing points sooner rather than later. It's hard to believe that you're taking that many shots, you're on the ice for that many goals, and you're just not getting points. So that's just kind of my inclination there. So perhaps not a pickup right now suggestion, more of a keep an eye out, because I wouldn't be shocked if we start to see a breakout or some kind of just kind of consistent point production in the next 20 games, let's say, at some point where you can stream them. So that's it. Sean Monahan as well, 5 games played, 1 goal, 2 PIMs, and 16 shots on goal. This guy is streaky, we know that. Right now he's in the slump, so expect him to kind of come back up again soon. Shane Gostisbehere as well, who was killing it for a while and is now a little bit of a regression, but regressed a little bit too much for my taste. 5 games played, 1 assist, 18 shots on goal, 21 minutes and 27 seconds of average time on ice. Very similar situation as Osterley. He is there to get points, and he has the opportunity to get points. He's just not getting them right now, so I'd expect them to come. It's a little bit surprising that he doesn't have points, which is a good thing if you're a Ghost of Spare owner. So those are my unsustainably low. Man, I've been away too long.
For mine, I'm going to start with Derek Brassard. Pretty lowly owned at like 28% or so, but in 6 games played, he had no points. He went minus 5. He has 2 PIMs, 18 shots, 5 hits, and 3 blocks. His peripherals seem like he should be getting more points. The fact that Stone's out obviously doesn't help at all. But the Sens did claim Magnus Pjärvi from St. Louis, and they're putting him on the line with Dzingel and Brassard. So they're really hoping that it's going to work out. Who knows? But either way, I think Brassard's numbers just have to improve. Obviously, going 6 games without a point and putting up that many peripherals that are that good, aside from the minus 5, show that like he should at some point get a goal.
Yep.
Pretty snake bitten. Evander Kane next up. 6 games played, no points, minus 4, 2 PIMs, 14 shots, 9 hits, and 4 blocks. He must have made somebody in the organization mad, as he was dropped down to the third line in the second power play from being, I think, first or second line in first power play. So that said, it's definitely Buffalo's best interest to play him in a position to succeed. So I don't know what, like, whoever has like some vendetta against him needs to just stop it and let him play his selfish game where he gets goals and hits people, because that's what people want to see, and that's what's going to get his value risen so you can make a good trade out of him. So I think sooner or later they're going to figure that out, and he's going to move back up the depth chart. And then when he does eventually get traded, which is almost certainly going to happen, his value is going to rise. Then lastly here, Chris Letang, 6 games played. He has 1 assist, a plus 2, 10 PIMs, 21 shots, 8 hits, and 10 blocks. So great peripherals, especially the shots. He's still top pairing and top power play. I think it's just going to sort itself out. I wouldn't be too worried about Letang.
Yeah, Letang's going to be totally fine. Not to mention he was out with an injury and he came back, about 6 games ago, I think, something like that. 6-10 games ago, somewhere in there, he came back from an injury. So he's just getting it all back together. And not to mention that, you know, Pittsburgh has such crappy wingers. It's unbelievable. And then the other thing I was going to mention on Evander Kane real quick, there's also potentially a possibility where they're kind of working out deals and just putting him on the third line. You're just kind of protecting your asset a little bit. Seeing what you have, like giving Sam Reinhardt, for example, an opportunity to get a few more minutes. So that also could be happening, but I agree with you. I think they need to put him on the top line. Although I do feel like I made out like a bandit now that when I traded him for Patty Kane and Allen. So I'll take that.
Definitely.
Okay, so let's move on to a new segment, actually. A segment that someone recommended us. They said, you guys are extremely pessimistic and always are saying someone can't keep doing what they're doing, or you call out players for sucking. So they told us, how about you call out players that are doing well and keep doing well? So we're introducing a segment called the Sustainably High segment, where we pretty much give our picks for guys that we think will continue to produce at levels that perhaps are a little high, but we think that it's going to continue. So I'll start this off with the first one. It's going to be Tomas Hertl. He's 42.6% owned on ESPN, 41% on Yahoo, not that much of a discrepancy. He's top power play now, and he's really producing on it. He got a goal and two assists since being moved up, and his minutes are at around 21 to 22 minutes. But somehow he's still on the third line. So how he's getting that much ice time and third line minutes or third line time, I don't know. It's a little weird to me, but I do think he's going to keep producing, and I think there's more opportunities now, especially with Joe Thornton being injured. Next up,
I saw him on the second with Couture, so really? He may have moved.
Okay, so maybe
he got moved back down. I don't know.
It's left wing lock and Daily Faceoff both have him on the third line, so I don't know what's going on there. But maybe he's playing.
It must have been recent.
Yeah. So I'm a high on Hurdle. Moving on, Travis Konecny. 21.5% owned on ESPN, 31% on Yahoo. A little bit of a discrepancy there. 10% is pretty big. I own him in both Yahoo and ESPN now. He's top line in Philadelphia with Couturier and Giroux. 6 games played, 4 goals, 2 assists, +3, 2 PIMs, 1 power play point, 17 shots on goal, and 6 hits. He's on the second power play. I would love to see him on the top power play, but that's just not going to happen, I think, unless they move Simmons or something like that. So. But in the meantime, we know what Giroux can do for a guy, and look what he's doing for Couturier, and now they're doing it for Travis Konecny. So honestly, he's extremely worth it, in my opinion. And lastly, Justin Williams is my safe play, kind of, where if you're in a deep league and just need someone who you know is going to produce, and you kind of know at what level, he's not an elite player, but you know what he's going to get. Justin Williams, I think, is a good option right now. He's ranked pretty highly in every league. He's not owned very highly. I forgot to put the ownership percentage, but he's available in all my leagues. 2 games played, 3 assists, +2, 2 PIMs, 2 power play points, 10 shots on goal, and 5 hits. See, second line, second power play, and like I said, you just know what you're going to get out of him. And I actually tend to like guys like that, to at least have 2 or 3 that I just know that, look, they're not a point-per-game guy, but I know that I'm going to get 1 or 2 points out of them every week.
Yep.
All right, for me, Jonathan Marchessault. So he's a highly owned, obviously, 85%. But in 7 games, he has 2 goals, 5 assists, +4, 4 PIMs, 25 shots, 1 game-winning goal, 1 power play point, and 7 hits. I think since the move to Vegas and, like, really putting him on the line to succeed where he was for some time in Florida, I think this is really going to be the start of his career, and I think it's going to be a really good one. I think he's going to be, a top 3-round fantasy pick going forward. So if you got in on him, good for you.
Would you trade for him?
Yeah, I would if I needed him.
Yep.
I think he's going to be close to a point per game pace for the rest of the season. I think he's probably going to be a 70 plus point guy, I would think.
I agree with that.
Could be wrong, but, he's showing all the signs. He's getting the points and he's putting up the peripherals to back them up. So,
yep.
Next up here, Pavel Buchnevich, 25% owned on Yahoo. 6 games played, he has 2 goals, 4 assists, +2, 10 shots, 1 game-winning goal, 3 power play points, 7 hits, and 4 blocks. As long as he's top line, top power play, he's a pretty good option. He's under-owned at 25%, I think, at this point. I would like to see his peripherals increase a little bit, especially in the shot production. But I think he's not going to be a point-per-game guy, but he's going to do better than somebody that's 25% owned should do.
Oh, yeah, and not to mention that if the Rangers do go through with their fire sale, which everyone is kind of hinting at, he's probably the first one in the pecking order that's going to get more minutes and more opportunities.
Right. And lastly here, the most mentioned player on this podcast, Evgeny Dadonov, 23% owned on Yahoo, 5 games played, 2 goals, 2 assists, -2, 2 PIMs, 14 shots, 1 game winner, 1 power play point, 3 hits, 3 blocks. I don't understand how this is happening again. Yeah, he was a little sluggish coming out of his injury, but he's been good for like weeks now. And he's top line, top power play again. He looked really good in the game against the Islanders last night. Yes, he's rosterable. He should be way more owned than 23%. It's crazy to me why he's so ignored when you have guys like, I'm going to mention here, Andrei Burakovsky, who's been bad his whole career, frankly, as far as fantasy is concerned, and he's still higher owned than Dadonov. Makes no sense to me.
It's just nuts. And not to mention, like you said, he was slow coming out of the gate because he was put on like the third line. As soon as he got moved up to the top line, he was a point per game player. As long as he's on top line, top power play, Evgeny Dadonov is worth owning. Okay, so there you go. So that's the new segment. Let's move on to a segment that we've had in the past and go back to being our pessimistic New York team fans selves. Sustainably low segment. So I'll start with Sammy Vatanen, who's 21% owned on ESPN. He's still the same player he was on Anaheim. I don't know why people expected anything different from him in New Jersey. He just does not have a lot of upside for the offense or for peripherals. He's just a good defenseman. He's good in real life, just not good in fantasy. Moving on, Clayton Keller at 68% owned on ESPN. 2 points in his last five games played. His average time on ice is down to 14 minutes and 33 seconds. His third line top power play, but honestly, both his power play line and his even strength line, that's the name for it, not the line. But they're both absolute hot garbage. I dropped Keller a long time ago, and I would suggest that you do the same. I think there is better out there, and if anything, that position is probably better as a streamer option than as a Clayton Keller option. And lastly, Brent Seabrook. Yep. I'm not even going to go into why. I think we know why. I'm just shocked that he's still 55% owned. Like, he's a bum.
Yeah.
Drop him.
You know, the funny thing is, when I was looking at some of these guys that I was trying to figure out if they're sustainable or not, I realized that a lot of players have shot up, you know, the guys that were, you know, in the high, you know, 70% ownership or so have dropped down to single digits. So that means people are hanging on to Seabrook and these guys that are, like, sustainably garbage for weeks now due to whatever, like, past, like, thinking Seabrook's ever going to be as good as he was, you know, 7 years ago.
Don't be married to the draft pick either. Like, that's the other thing, too, is people probably took him, like, fourth round, and they're like, crap, I can't drop my fourth round guy. Yes, you can.
No way anybody took Seabrook fourth round. Please don't take Seabrook fourth round.
No,
I know what you're saying.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, people get married to the idea of the draft pick being, like, the end all. Like, for example, I think a great example is Cam Atkinson. It took people forever to give up on Cam Atkinson. And
yeah.
I think in large part it was one, like you said, his past performance was so good, so they're, like, hoping he comes back. And then also it's just they probably took him high and they don't want to give up on him. Just because someone was picked high doesn't mean that you got to keep him.
So I was looking at Pominville earlier, and he was one of those guys that he was really good for like a month, and he got up to like 70-something percent ownership, and now he's down to 8. So there's enough active teams to be dropping these guys. Just drop them.
Yep.
Anyway, Mikhail Sergachev. So this is going to be a contentious one. He's my first pick here. 81% owned on Yahoo. 4 games played. He has 1 assist, a -3, 4 PIMs, only 2 shots. 9 hits and 5 blocks. He was healthy scratched twice. Hedman is back now, and Sergachev, as a result, has been bumped off of the power play entirely. So he went from power play 1 to not on it at all. That's a death knell to me. Sergachev has a bright future, but if they're not going to play him in a position to get points and they're going to healthy scratch him, he's not fantasy relevant.
Nope.
He had a great season. I just don't know what they're going to do for the rest of the season. I'd be worried to hold up, to keep holding on to him.
Yeah.
The thing is, if he was on my roster, would I drop him? He's got like 27 points or something. I'd be, it'd be hard, but I do think his time is at an end.
Yep.
Unless he gets back on power play 1 or at least power play 2. Come on now.
Yep.
Next up here, Andrei Burakovsky, 25% Yahoo. Man, people held on to him all the way through his IR stretch and are still hanging on to him. And they went back on to, I don't think he was on the IR, but he was injured for another 3 games. So 3 games played, 1 assist, a -1, 2 PIMs, 5 shots, 1 power play point, and 1 block. Not playing a ton of minutes, getting between 12 and 16 on any given night. He's on a very ineffective second power play unit that features Lars Eller, Brett Connolly, Dmitry Orlov, and Matt Niskanen. Yeah, that's not a good power play unit. I do like his second line assignment with Backstrom and Oshie. But Oshie's not been great this season. Burkowski hasn't never been that good, honestly. And I just don't see it. I think Burkowski has been overhyped for fantasy, and I don't really understand why. Then lastly here, TJ Brody, 41% owned. He's one of those guys that people took probably relatively high, not that high, probably like 10th round or something. But he was real good at the beginning of the season, pretty much getting a point on every single power play point that Calgary picked up. But it's not been the case for a long time now. I think a lot of people probably expected that Giordano would take over the top power play unit eventually, which has happened. Brody in five games has one goal, a minus one, 12 shots, one hit, and eight blocks. As I mentioned, no longer on the top power play and is on a mediocre second power play with Sam Bennett, who hopefully will be good one of these days, Mark Jankowski, Michael Ferland, and Dougie Hamilton. That line isn't horrible, but it's significantly worse than the top power play, obviously. And it just isn't going to see that many minutes unless those guys are tired or something on the top line.
Yep.
The 12 shots in five games is actually kind of high for Brody, so I actually expect that to go down. I expect him to be below two shots a game for the season.
So pretty much he's sustainably low, and you think he'll get even worse.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so let's move into our topics for tonight. I'll start off with Austin Matthews versus the Islanders, because the Islanders can't stop the puck, and Austin Matthews can put it into the back of the net, so why not? Evgeny Kuznetsov versus Philadelphia. I like him a lot. Cheaper option than Ovechkin as well. And lastly, Willie Nylander. He's versus the Islanders, who can't stop the puck. Nylander is top line, top power play, and somehow he's only $5,500. So there you go.
Sits right on the mean.
Yep, you can easily do a Toronto stack.
Yep. So for my top picks, I like the Washington stack here with Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Holtby, which obviously is expensive. But yeah, I like all three of those guys tonight. I think Holtby's the best goalie option, but you could probably pick a different winner out of one of the other games, maybe Frederick Anderson, and just risk the Islanders a little bit. Then moving to value picks, I have another stack here, Toronto, but it's their second line with Nazem Kadri. It might be the third, I don't know. Kadri, Marner, and Jake Gardner, the defenseman there. Marner and Kadri play together both on even strength and on the top power play unit, and they've been doing well lately. Gardner, as we mentioned already, has been doing really well. And until Riley gets back, he's going to have increased value. And all three of those guys are relatively cheap. They're not like the cheapest, but they're pretty cheap. Gardner, I think, is actually the most reasonable. He's down at like $4,500
or something. Yeah, he's pretty reasonable. And I agree with both of those. I took Kadri and Gardner as well. The only one I'll add there is a little bit of a tough matchup for him, but Wayne Simmonds. That's mostly because I found that FanDuel and DraftKings have him listed on the third line, which lowers his price significantly. But he's on the second line with Nolan Patrick and Jacob Voracek, and he's on the top power play. So I like Simmonds' opportunities a lot tonight just because of the line. I like the line he's on a lot better than being centered by Filppula. And that top power play is always kind of lethal because of the guys that are on it. So I like Wayne Simmonds a lot for the price that he's at. And there you go. That is it. That is the Unsustainable Wednesdays. And well, now it's actually Unsustainable/Sustainable Wednesdays. But anyways, that is it. We will see you on Friday to recap the week. And other than that, that's it. Thank you for listening.
Yep, thanks for listening.